Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer. With the new mayoral administration set to get underway at City Hall tomorrow, are you feeling inspired to participate in city government? Even if you forgot to run for office, there's still time to apply for a voluntary position on your local community board. Applications are available online through the borough president's websites, but maybe you first have some questions about what exactly a community board is and how it all works. We're joined by some guests who can lay it all out for us. I'm joined by Christian Salazar, editor of Gotham Gazette. Hi, Christian. Hi, Christian.
Hello.
There he is. And Robert Paris and Betty Colick Wallace, experts on community boards. Hi, Robert. Hi, Betty.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Betty is on Brooklyn Community Board 16, and Robert Paris is the district manager for Brooklyn's Community Board 2. But Christian, I want to start with you. Can you give us some background on what a community board is in New York City? How do you get on one, and what do they actually do?
Sure, no problem. So community boards are the most local level of government in New York City, and they came about during the 1960s as there was a push for decentralizing the city government to make it more responsive, as sort of an idea of pushing for direct democracy. And so there are 59, and half of the members are nominated by the city council, and the others are nominated by the borough presidents. And each one of them consists of 50 unsalaried members, and they are, in order to get on these boards, you have to apply and be appointed through the borough presidents.
And one of the things that I found interesting and surprising when I was looking into community boards, you don't actually have to live in the community where you serve on the community board. You can also have a business in the area and that sort of thing, just be invested in that particular community.
Right, exactly. I guess I should talk about the responsibilities, which are, mostly advisory, but they deal with important land use and zoning issues. They have to be consulted on the placement of municipal facilities. They can weigh in on or provide recommendations for the city's budget. And so, of course, businesses and other organizations in the community have a vested interest in having a voice heard through the community boards.
So, Betty Colick Wallace, you are on Community Board 16 in Brooklyn. What neighborhoods does that include?
That's Brownsville and Ocean Hill, part of Ocean Hill.
And how did you get on your community board? Why did you decide to join in?
Well, being a community activist all of my life, I first became the president or vice president of the Block Association, and then later becoming the president, and then joining the community board as a regular member about 1990, after which I became a member of the precinct council, 73rd Precinct Council, joining the Land Use Committee, and becoming the chair, then first vice, and now the chair.
So you are the chair of your community board.
Now, yes, I am.
Now, why? This is a volunteer position, and
yes,
it's an advisory board. So
yes. So
tell me why spend the time? What kind of impacts have you seen from spending the time on the community board?
Well, I find it valuable to become involved in the decision-making about what goes on in the community. And in order to do that, you need a connection. The connection I found is the community board. I find that if you want something, you have to be a part of it. You have to ask. You have to request. You have to be active. And that's why I feel that it's so important for all of us to become community activists in whatever way we can. Not just sit, but get up and be active.
And you mentioned you've been involved back since 1990.
Yes.
On your community board, Is it a combination of new faces and older faces, or is it kind of folks who've been in the community involved for some time?
It's as you stated first, older and new. And in doing so, leaving a legacy, I find that it is very good to work with those who are working on the board so that you can help train them so they can have a better community board as you leave and the leaf is turned over. So that's one of the things that I do. I also like to see community involvement elsewhere. I'm a personal trainer, group fitness coordinator, and I'm also an advocate of the bike lanes here in Brownsville. And I'm all for wellness and fitness, no matter how old you are, where you are. Get up and do something.
Well, before I move on to Robert Parris, I want to ask you about that bike lane in Brownsville. You were involved on the community board and getting that there, right? How did that happen?
Absolutely, absolutely. Attending the meetings down of all of the different departments, one of them, I asked the question, I'm a biker. I have a bike group, senior bike group here in Brownsville.
May I ask how old you are, Betty?
Huh?
May I ask how old you are?
Sure you may. I turned 75 last Thursday. I'll be 76 next year, this coming year, December.
Okay, so you're 75 years old. You have a senior bike group. And
yes, I do. I teach swimming, and I'm also a physical fitness coordinator and a personal trainer. And I do it all for free.
And you went to this meeting and said, I want a bike lane.
Yes, I did. I said, I visit other communities. They have bike lanes. We don't have any in Brownsville. I work with BRC. Why can't we have bike lanes? I don't even have any place to lock my bike up. And it started from there about 2-3 years ago. And lo and behold, we have bike lanes now. We're not finished. It's an unfinished product. But we can ride from Brownsville Recreation Center over to East New York, over to Prospect Park.
All right, Betty, that's
and
a good
back.
Story. Now, Robert Parris, you are the district manager for Brooklyn's Community Board 2. What neighborhoods does that include?
That's the downtown Central Business District and Civic Center, and then sort of a ring of residential neighborhoods around it, water on two sides going as far east as Clinton Hill, and then down into Borough Mill.
And so the district manager is actually a paid position. You're on staff for the community board. Before then, you were a volunteer for the community board. What's your pitch for somebody who's sort of curious about the community board? What's your pitch for why they should get involved?
Well, I think that Chair Colic Wallace really nailed it. You can get involved in a variety of ways in communities, but you increase your stake by being on what is, per the city charter, a city agency.
And how do you get on a community board? How political a process? The city council is involved in some of the seats. The borough president's involved. If you're somebody who's not involved at all in local politics, how does it work?
Well, I think how political it is varies from council district to council district. Many people follow the path that Betty described, where they've been involved in a variety of ways in their community, and they just over time sort of up their game. And those are exactly the kind of candidates that borough presidents are looking for, people with a proven track record of being involved and getting things done.
And the borough presidents handle appointments with city council input, and they're looking for 50 volunteers for each of the 59 boards in the city. Is there problems? Is it difficult sometimes to find enough applicants to fill all the seats on community boards?
There has been some places in the past. In Community District 2, we generally have more candidates than slots to fill. We have maybe 2 or 3 empty slots each year, and we have trended towards a greater involvement by younger people, which is a very welcome change.
And how's that happened?
It was something we actively pursued. Being on a community board takes time, and sort of historically, membership on community boards has trended towards older people whose families have gotten on with their own lives, and they now have time to spend in other ways. If you're, starting a career and you've got 2 young children at home, it sometimes can be difficult to participate on a community board or in any other way.
And when, how much time does it take to serve on a community board? I mean, give me tips for sort of what it's like to go to a community board meeting. Sometimes there are long lines for public hearings, public input. How much time does it take?
At Community Board 2, we try to keep our meetings to 2 hours. After that, no one's really paying attention, or at least not to the same degree. Those meetings occur on a monthly basis from September to June. The city charter gives community boards the ability to take off July and August. Our community board members only need to serve on one standing committee. Many community boards ask for a commitment to two committees, and so that would be one or two additional meetings each month. And then, you know, I think there needs to be a certain amount of time reading local newspapers and blogs, listening to the radio, staying up on current issues, so that when a matter comes before the committee or the board, you can make an informed decision.
Betty Collick-Wallace, how much time would you say you spend in a week on community board business as the chair?
Well, other than my priority, which is my fitness and wellness, I'll spend, I'm going to go days. I'm going to spend at least 2 to 3 of those 3 days out of any given week, and then I might tip the plate over just a little bit because I like to be informed and I like to keep others informed. And thank God for one of the best district managers. I'm not kicking anyone else, but I have Miss Green Walker, who has been there every step of the way with me, and I thank God for working with her so close, and she helps me quite a bit.
And that's the staff person on your community board, 16. So
that's right.
Christian Salazar with Gotham Gazette, can you lay out for me a sort of power map of community boards across the 5 boroughs of New York City? Where do the community which community boards really have figured out how to have real political power in terms of not, you know, making sure whatever they advise actually turns into what happens?
Good question. When researchers have looked across the board at the effectiveness of community boards, what they've seen is that those boards that are have higher medium household incomes do much better in getting their city recommendations before the agencies. And this is largely, they say, because of the the capacity of the people on the board, the skills and the social connections there. So, you know, I think you can basically say the higher income ones are going to be more effective. Now, one of the things that Scott Stringer, as Manhattan Borough President, did was to provide, at least in Manhattan, was to try to improve how other boards that possibly don't have access to those resources in their own communities. For instance, he had some graduate students in planning provide advisory help to community boards. And, you know, so I think there have been a lot of reform groups have talked about, you know, how this being one of the problems with community boards is that in those communities that, you know, you would think, hey, they definitely, it's a lower income community, and they definitely need more of their voice heard in the city, yet they can't get qualified people on those boards. You know, of course, there might be some politics involved in that, but also they may not have the neighborhood resources. And so one of, you know, among the many recommendations for reform in the past have been, you know, to maybe have an advisory planning group that could be a pool of people who could be called upon to provide some advice when they need it.
We are talking about community boards in New York City with Christian Salazar of the Gotham Gazette, Robert Paris, the district manager of Brooklyn's Community Board 2, and Betty Collick-Wallace of Community Board 16. She is the chairwoman of that community board. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. Christian, going back, you mentioned politics in your last answer. These community board seats and who gets to sit in them, how much have politics sort of affected who gets to keep their seat, who gets named? I mean, there have been some controversial sort of, issues the community boards have weighed in on, Atlantic Yards, for example, in Brooklyn. Where have we seen politics kind of affect who gets to make up these community boards?
Well, you know, what happens is that because the city council, is involved in the nominating process, there can be instances where, I've heard of instances where the parties or political parties have made sure or recommended people who are involved in party politics to be on those boards. And this is why, again, going back to Stringer, he formalizes the process of hiring community boards members. And it's been a longstanding problem. I don't know the degree at this point of what that problem is in the other boroughs, but it seems like, at least in Manhattan, they've gone a long way to try to provide a more professionalized screening process for those members.
And you mentioned Scott Stringer again. I found out in prepping this segment from my producer that he actually got his start in politics as a teenage community board member. So I think that's that. You go to big things once you start out on a community board. Robert, I want to ask you about this shift. We're obviously in transition in terms of who's running the city with Bill de Blasio becoming mayor tomorrow. Under Mayor Bloomberg, he sort of went around community boards with the 311 system, didn't he? Because it used to be that community boards took complaints and forwarded them to relevant agencies, right? Was there a sense on your community board that Mayor Bloomberg didn't sort of defer to community boards in the way that perhaps previous mayors had?
I think there are community boards that feel like 311 ate their lunch, but there are many district managers and community boards who feel that it freed up community boards to do something else. I don't need to spend as much time getting a street light fixed or a pothole filled because 311 handles that very professionally. You get to more complicated complaints that sometimes involve multiple agencies, and it's not uncommon for people to call 311 several times, not really get much of an answer, and eventually have the operator tell them to call the community board. The advice from 311 is call the district office. So there are a lot of complaints that we continue to handle, and 311 frees us up to do more planning. Christian mentioned the planning fellowship program started by Borough President Stringer. That program is now expanded to the Bronx and to Brooklyn. We currently have our fourth planning fellow, and Community Board 16 has had planning fellows as well.
And those planning fellows are working with the community board in creating these land use kind of advisory plans that the community boards, that are part of the community board's charge.
Well, planning can take a wide range of forms. Our planning fellow this year is looking at naturally occurring retirement communities where older people choose to age in place instead of going to some sort of formally designed retirement community. Last year, we looked at school capacity and need in the community district, and our planning fellow identified a need for an elementary school in downtown Brooklyn. That became the community board's number one capital budget priority. And we have met with council member Stephen Levin and the School Construction Authority to pursue getting a school built in downtown Brooklyn. All of that, sort of rolls out from a student planner.
Neat. And Betty Colick Wallace, I'm curious how you're thinking about Bill de Blasio becoming mayor. Do you think that'll change the work that you do in Brooklyn Community Board 16?
I'm not so sure whether it'll change it. There's a possibility of enhancement because as I age and become better, I feel that there will be more of a leeway to do more, to do bigger and better things. That's my take on it. I agree with what the other Mr. Christian has said, as well as Mr. Parris. I agree with them. But I'm looking for bigger and better things. I do not see a stop sign any place.
So stop signs.
I do not see a stop sign.
And that you have been honored by Transportation Alternatives for your work to get the bike lane in Brownsville.
Yes.
They are actively recruiting people for local community boards. Are you lobbied by different nonprofit groups as a community board chairwoman?
Sometimes, yes. Yes, absolutely. And it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to do or accomplish the things. But I am very thankful for the others who worked with me from the Brownsville Partnership Corporation at our office, District 16's office. And as I said before, Ms. Greenwalker plays a very, very important role in the things that get accomplished here in our community.
We've got a call from another community board member, Desmond in Crown Heights, Community Board 8. What's been your experience serving on the community board there? Do you feel like you're making an impact?
We feel like we're making an impact. We've had problems with when we have our fiscal reviews that there were issues that were claimed and by the city's different departments that they had already taken to. And that had a lot to do with streets being repaved. And we had to point out that issues that they said were closed were not. And eventually we did get all our streets repaved. But the other things that have to do with that, I'm on fire and safety. The incoming mayor has said that he's going to speak out and implement community policing, something that I had personally been working for. We have people from the Chamber of Commerce who've been working very hard in our core part of Central Brooklyn to bring up businesses, commerce. Our new city councilman has already given a video that said that he says where that's one of the things that he wants to take advantage of, implementing a greater drive towards entrepreneurship and taking advantage of the tourism industry here in New York City. That would be Rob Cornegie. And the Parks and Recreations, we have a lot of initiatives that have been getting done. But the parks are basically one of the biggest meeting places, and they're underserved. And one of the biggest problems that you have that people look at is youth malaise. I'm in my 60s. When I grew up, there were places for youth to go constantly. You had the Y, the Boys Club, all those things, and you had after-school centers and schools. The schools had become so squeezed and so politically, such a political minefield that the schools will not allow people to go into them after school in the school centers.
Now, Desmond, you mentioned you're in your 60s.
Yes.
How long have you served on your community board?
3 years.
3 years.
Four,
so
yes.
This is fairly recent. So how did you join the community board?
As the lady from Brownsville basically gave you the roadmap, we didn't have a block association for a long time. I worked to start a block association. I met a lady who had then joined the community board, and she mentioned to me, and I said, well, she leapfrogged me. How did that happen? And basically I went and I looked because I wanted to know how things get planned. I wanted to know how things were being implemented in the community. There was like a hidden hand. And even then, as far as education and other things, there are always issues that people say that how did that happen? And the lady basically said, you have to be in it. You have to be involved. And the idea is to try to get people to become more involved.
And
this is on a city, a state, and federal level.
So as a fairly new community board member, if you're speaking to someone out there who's considering getting involved but is a little bit hesitant because doesn't know if they have the time to sit in these community board meetings, doesn't know if they'll work for their schedule, just what's one of your tips for getting through those early meetings? How did you figure out how to make your presence known?
You hone in on an issue that is near and dear to you, and you speak. You have to be informed. Hopefully you've listened already to other things that people brought up, and then basically you synthesize and bring things to a point where people can understand that you have a valid point about the way you'd like to see things go within your community. And that's basically it for everything. If it's something that passionately speaks to you, but a lot of people are sleepwalking, and a lot of times that's because there is not an adequate means of press. Social media works well.
Thank you for your call, Desmond in Crown Heights on Community Board 8. This is quite a primer for how to get involved in your community if you're watching the inauguration tomorrow, thinking about the transition of who's governing New York City. Maybe you want to get involved in your local community. Christian Salazar, editor of Gotham Gazette, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Robert Paris, district manager for Brooklyn's Community Board 2, and Betty Collick Wallace, the chairwoman of Brooklyn Community Board 16. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.